This is Steve Sherlock with another podcast for Franklin Matters. In this session, we'll continue with part two of the special meeting that the town council held to review the budget in a workshop format. Part one has already been published. Part two, this segment, Susan Gagner, the town controller, continues her presentation with the six-year local estimated receipts history, the six-year state assessment history, and finally the budget breakdown. From this, she'll get into the fixed costs, which will be in the next segment, part three. But in this segment, again, we've got three pages of her presentation. It goes approximately 12 minutes, and thank you for listening.
Everyone all set with state aid for now? Page three is a detailed explanation of the local estimated receipts. Just one interesting point. If you look at the first 05 motor vehicle, we budgeted almost $3.8 million to be collected for motor vehicle. The fiscal 10 budget, $3.5 million. We made a cut over 6 years of over $200,000. That just tells you, you know, what we're dealing with. We've lost significant revenue in motor vehicle. And that's just been the way it is until even with the...
The new commitment we just got in.
For excise tax.
In fact, we have the bills all downstairs on people's desks. You'll be getting them in the next 2 weeks.
Thanks, Jim. What a guy.
If you want to dig through them all. There are actually more bills, a lot more bills, 1,000 more bills going out, but the average per bill is dropped by $7, which shows that people keep hanging on to their cars longer.
Yeah.
Right.
I was going to say, with the loss, it's not because people aren't paying their excise tax bills. It's just
it's because the cars are getting older and they're getting...
It's flattening out.
Right.
So, I mean, between fiscal 9 and fiscal 10, we're losing almost $1.4 million in our local revenues, mostly due to motor vehicle.
Investment income.
But that's been slowly coming down. Our high year for investment income was fiscal 08.
Fiscal 7.
Oh, yes, excuse me, fiscal 7. We collected $928,000 in investment income. For fiscal 10, we're predicting $250,000. That's a lot of money. So, I mean, we're getting hit from all areas, state aid, local revenue.
Is that best case or worst case?
I'm hoping...
I mean, 250.
That's probably right on target.
Pretty close.
I mean, we're really budgeting right to what we think we're going to get, maybe a little under, because you never want to overestimate your revenues. But we're really tight in our budgeting. Hopefully it will come in at the 250, and I feel pretty good that it will. We seem to be on target. If you look at the fiscal 10, those revenues, actuals are through December. So, I mean, we haven't had the February commitment is not in here for excise tax on a motor vehicle, and that was like 2.6, was it 10, something like that?
Maybe 2.7.
So some of our revenues are looking pretty good. If you look at fees, I had budgeted $970,000. We've collected to date $603,000. So that's really good. That's positive.
Is that a constant?
That has ambulance and then other fees. In fiscal 09, we had a bump up, and that was because we had some tower rental fees that kind of lagged behind. We got a big one-time payment, so that really bumped it up for that 1 year, but that was not normal. We see some of these things rebounding, licenses and permits. We've already collected almost $500,000 of the $580,000 that we've predicted.
But a lot of that is, December liquor license, a lot of licenses happen in December. So some of this is not... every quarter is the same.
But the building permits are doing better than what we had thought back when we set these projections. So, I mean, there's some little positive movement, but not enough to make a big difference yet.
But the biggest hit is obviously the motor vehicle.
Yes. And our local revenue is only 7.5% of the total revenue. So, it's not going to make a big impact in a positive direction. It's just not a big enough piece of the pie.
What was the big change in recurring miscellaneous?
The miscellaneous recurring, that was all the indirects from the enterprise funds. They used to be calculated in our estimated revenues. But in fiscal 10, that was pulled out. The Department of Revenue didn't like it represented here. So in 10, it's not there anymore. It's in other available funds.
Okay.
So that's why you see the difference.
So it's in a different line.
It's
item.
In a different place,
gone.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. Are there any questions on the local revenues? Fourth page, this is the state assessment. And this is what we get billed from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to pay off their share of running certain aspects of state government.
Our state bill.
Yes, it's our state bill. One thing to note, the retired teachers' health insurance, that used to be a state assessment. Our retired teachers belong to the GIC, which is the Group Insurance Commission Health Insurance Plan. And in fiscal 7, it was voted by town council to pull those retired teachers in under our umbrella of health insurance. And so we did see a significant, I feel, savings.
Yeah, we
peaked
out.
Them under us.
We peaked out at 146, and now I think this year's budget's under 1.1 million.
You see that when you're
so
right.
If I return them from the state plan to the town plan, we've saved about, and that was, you know, I bet you we'd be saving $600,000 or $700,000 now because the GIC is going.
It was growing by leaps and bounds. If you see between 06 and 07, you know, it was over $340,000.
They have a better plan for less money, so they're all happy. We saved a lot of money based on the council's vote.
Absolutely. So
did that have to get state approval or?
No, the council had to vote it through a public hearing process, and we had to negotiate with the teachers union concerning the impact of future retirees and work the whole thing out, and didn't go into effect until 08. So the number you see in 08 and 09 is the tail of claims that hadn't been processed, so all's well that ends well.
But if you notice, once I pulled out the retired teachers' health insurance from the formula, our state assessments continue to grow, even though maybe state aid is declining for us. So we're getting it from both ends. And also the charter school, that's grown from $2.6 million to $3.4 million. Who knows what it will be in fiscal 11.
How did we go from an 08 of the regional transit?
Do you see right above it the MBTA assessment? And then it says regional transit assessment?
Yeah.
Okay. All we're doing is shifting the cost from the MBTA to the regional transit authority under a statute that allows us to have the busing that you see. So we would have to pay the MBTA assessment no matter what, because we're part of the MBTA district. But we can take those same dollars and apply them to a local regional transit authority. So that's what we decided to do. So, and that's come online. Next year, you're going to see the MBTA number go down a little more and the regional transit go up a little more. So it's just a better use of the money since we'd have to pay for the train anyway.
Right.
So we'll get some.
We're still getting
so, for instance,
train.
We used to have two and a half van drivers and buses for all the Council on Aging. We don't have those jobs anymore. It's all paid out of here. So we got rid of two positions in the buses, and this line item pays for it. So actually we're saving probably $80,000-$90,000 a year and getting better service. So that was another thing that we the other thing, for people that don't know, school choice sending tuition, when kids leave Franklin to go to school someplace else, the school we have to send money with those students. So you'll see that this year we sent $182,000. So that comes off of our cherry sheet. When kids leave other school districts and come to Franklin, that money gets sent, but it goes right to the school committee. It's not subject to appropriation. So they can use that money to supplement their budget, to save it for in case something comes up. So this school sending and school receiving, the school sending is on this one. Receiving is on the front page of the cherry sheet, but it's not something we use as a calculation because it's not.
They get it directly.
They get it directly. It's not subject to appropriation.
So why has it increased?
Because more folks are leaving.
When other children choose to go to a different school system, those dollars, we don't get them anymore. That's a state assessment that gets deducted from the monies that we get.
If I recall, that's a calculation based on the average cost per student, based on what we're doing.
It's just a flat rate.
It's just a flat rate?
Yeah. Okay. So that's why.
Any questions on state assessments? Page 5, now we get into the expenditure components. I've taken the liberty of isolating the key departments, police, fire, DPW. I broke out snow and ice only because we tried to increase that over the last few years to get it up to where we feel it should be, so we're not always so much in a deficit condition at the end of the year with the snow. Library, facilities, all other, which is, you know, all the smaller departments, town administrator, council on aging, Memorial Day, those are in all other, and then fixed costs. One thing to note, the facilities budget, what we did, because the school facilities moved from the school department budget to the town side in 2009, Miriam did a calculation and went back to 2005 and pulled out all the facility costs. So we could show apples to apples on the school growth and also the facilities budget. So we've taken the liberty of adjusting those figures. What's interesting is the fixed, the fixed costs are like 30% of the municipal budgets. So our municipal side, 27% to 30% is for fixed costs only. So those fixed costs are borne in the municipal side of the equation. The school budgets have grown 24%, and the total budget has grown around 25%. So the town and the school side are kind of staying equal in their growth in total. But there are peaks and valleys with, you know, all the budgets. Fixed costs grew 51%. That's a big increase, but they're fixed costs. We have to pay for them. And the breakdown of fixed costs is on the next page.
For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled En Esto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.